TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. Boz and Mr. G, this beautiful Monday afternoon with Talking Illini on TalkZone.com, sponsored by Joe Rizza Auto Dealerships. RizzaCars.com. Mr. G, I told you last week I was very scared of this game going into Madison simply because the Badgers were due for a win, although I'm not sure they did that much to earn the win as much as we gave it to them. You were kind enough to take me to lunch last Monday after the show, and we were talking about what we needed to do to win the game. And I said we have to get on top of them early, maybe win the toss, maybe receive, take it down, take the lead, and bury them, because they were a buried down program, and we just let them hang around. We made a lot of mistakes, a lot of penalties. We weren't sharp from the beginning. We couldn't get sharp, and my worst fears came to fruition.
First of all, it's 45 and gloomy in Chicago, but it's a beautiful day.
The sun was out when I drove here.
Well, it must have come down with when
I got here a lot earlier than you.
Yeah, that's right. But I knew the turnovers would be a bugaboo. I thought, as in most Big Ten games, whoever wins the turnover battle, I think it's about 75%, typically wins the game. We had three interceptions. They had one fumble. You cannot do that on the road and expect to win games against formidable foes. And even though Wisconsin is down, it's a hard place to win. They've got a great home record, and they do have some good athletes, but we gave them this game.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by the voice of the Illini, Brian Barnhart. He'll try to help us get through this ball game. At 1 o'clock, David Kaplan from WGN Radio, Comcast Sportsnet, and at 1:30, Pat Hardy from the Iowa Press Citizen.
Boz, did you tell them about our new sponsor?
Our new sponsor, LPAC Athletic Clubs. How many five locations?
Four locations.
Four
soon locations. To be a fifth.
Soon to be a fifth. I know Lincoln Park, Lakeview,
West Loop and Evanston.
Nothing like having a health club sponsor talking Illini. I've been really into the health club scene.
Actually, Kendall
last...
Gill works out at the West Loop Athletic Club,
okay.
And so do other former Illini as well.
Very,
by the way,
very
our number here is 888-463-6748, or you can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com.
Now, before I start venting, Mr. G, I'll probably be talking fast today because I'm not sure we have enough time to go over this game. I just have you look at this. I've got all these notes, yellow highlights, red marks.
Looks like hieroglyphics.
Kudos to Zach Becker, walk-on from St. Joe Ogden, Homer, Illinois. Earned a spot, playing time throughout the year. He's been in on short yardage situations. He caught his first touchdown of his collegiate career, and when he gets called upon on short yardage situations and on special teams, he's been doing a pretty good job this year for us as a walk-on. Secondly, Britt Miller, at the beginning of the year, we thought we were missing Lehman, but Miller was unbelievable Saturday. He was all over the place, and he certainly is the heart and soul of the defense, if not the entire team. And now I'm comfortable with him. He could say anything, do anything he wants to try to get this team fired up.
But it's not the fact that Miller isn't good enough, and he isn't one, you know, great linebacker. It's the fact that we don't have a third linebacker, and Martez actually, you know, got off to a reasonably good start in the game, but really finished with a weak second half and was out of position, as were our defensive ends. We did not contain on the outsides. We didn't. We don't have any of our linebackers who actually can block a tight end off the line and impede their process either. If there's one thing that we've learned about this team throughout this season is we don't guard the tight end very well.
Absolutely. And we don't attack. You just talk about blocking the tight end. Our guys don't attack from defense. The blockers, we just kind of go into them and stand there and dance with them.
By the way, Boz's season prediction for the Illini of 6-2 in the Big Ten is now officially unattainable. Mine at 3-5 looks pretty good at this point.
Thank you very much. But we're going to get to that in a second because I still believe that I don't believe that we could get to 6-2 anymore.
Well, that's good.
But I believe we belong there, and I'm very, very disappointed at the attitude of this program as well right now as well as the performance. But the other thing I wanted to point out is freshman tight end Graham caught 6 balls. Oops, wrong guy, wrong team.
Well, we didn't find our tight end at all.
We found him once in the first quarter, never saw the ball again. Yeah. And that was one of my things here, too. I can't remember any attempt to him. You know, sometimes, okay, you look in the stats, he's got one catch. Maybe they tried 2-3 other times. I don't even remember the ball being thrown his way another time
in large part due to Juice's reads. There were guys running open. And I think if you break down the film and you look at it again, there were guys open. I think Juice tried to squeeze the ball, no pun intended, into some tight spots.
Well,
in particular, all 3 of his interceptions were intended for a true freshman, Sykes. And really, I think 2 of them were avoidable. One, Sykes went up with one hand instead of going up with 2 hands. 2, he quit on the pattern. The first interception was all on Juice, though.
You know, I'm going to stick up for Sykes. For everyone, all the fans online, Saturday night, Sunday, you just kind of stuck it to him. I think he's getting a bad rap on these. The first one clearly was on Juice, and let me make it my comment on that play. I thought Juice rolling out, there was a rusher coming in his face, and he waited too long. The rusher got too close, and that caused the high throw. He could have thrown it a lot earlier, and hopefully then would have been a lot more accurate. I think by allowing, I don't know why he thought he had to wait, or if he just was kind of teasing the rusher or whatever, but they had a rusher coming. Juice waited a couple extra steps, got the ball off, but the rusher was close enough, coming in with his hands up, to cause that high throw.
Let me ask you a question.
We don't rush with our hands up either.
Allow me to ask you a question.
And then remind
why should Sykes be our first look in that situation when we have guys who are much more talented than him? If that's his first read and he could have gotten rid of the ball earlier, then that's the wrong read. His first read should be Ben. His second read should be Jenkins. He's got Cumberland. His first read should not be Sykes. The only way he gets that ball in early to Sykes is if that's his primary read on the play.
No, we don't know if it was a primary read or not. What I'm talking about is after he started rolling out, he had plenty of time to hit him, to throw it early. Now, before he started rolling out, maybe there was someone else, Ben or whomever, that was open that we didn't see. But what I'm saying is once he rolled out, Sykes was wide open. He was wide open.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
But I don't really think that there was
maybe he
much
wasn't
rolling.
The number one guy. But all right, the other one, the long bomb. The long bomb, first of all, shouldn't have been thrown. Wasn't even close to being open. Second of all, if the TV announcer never said that he quit on the route, again, all of these experts online wouldn't have said he quit on the
route.
Thirdly, when you saw the replay,
you saw him get bumped off his pattern.
He got bumped out of bounds.
And then stopped. By the way, it wouldn't have been a reception even if he caught it.
Right, because he got bumped out. He didn't quit on the route. He got bumped out
Once he got bumped out of bounds, he stopped running. At least he could have broken it up. I thought it was a bad read by Juice.
Right.
There were guys underneath who were open.
Right.
And on many plays, there were guys underneath and open, and Juice failed to find those guys underneath.
I'll make a point to that. The third one on Sykes, you're right, should have gone up with 2 hands. But if he wouldn't have gone up with any hand, he probably would have got a lot of crap from all of us also on that.
Why wouldn't he have gone up with any hands?
Well, who knows? Because the throw was bad. The throw was bad and behind
him. It was a high pass.
But
great programs, when you see Texas Tech, when you see great passing games, receivers go up in traffic and make catches in their hands, in space, with guys around them and with passes that are not perfectly thrown.
Right.
Our receivers have to make plays, too.
All right. Well, the kid's a freshman. The throw was terrible. Juice was off all day. And, he got taken out of the lineup. Thank God. Kudos to the staff. They put him back in, and he made another reception
By the way, Greg from Highland Park says, everyone will say they lost because of the three interceptions. I say the coaches lost the game.
Well, it's a team effort. I mean, you start up top. Again, we were out hustled, we were out fought, we were out hit, and then we were out schemed, I thought, at certain times. And I thought, again, when you see Juice starting out slowly and rusty like that, you got to call some plays to try to get him in rhythm, and I didn't see that. What I did see was Wisconsin very frequently playing what looked like a fourth line, five across behind the line, and then two back, which made it both hard to run and hard to throw relatively short. But that's where, our coaches got to see that up top and devise some plays that are going to beat that. But let's give Wisconsin credit some credit also. Their season was on the line. They have a chance to kind of regroup now and win a few ball games, although their schedule, I believe, is still fairly difficult. They got to go to Michigan State. Then they got to go to the vaunted Hoosier Land that came off a big win against the Cats. That was very disappointing for the purple out of Evanston. And then they go to, they got Minnesota at home. But, if Wisconsin loses this game, their season's over.
Well,
but
Wisconsin's going to win three out of the four games.
They've
got Cal Poly at home.
Well, that doesn't even count. But Cal Poly actually is highly rated in Division II or III or whatever the lower division
is. Is there a Division IV? Maybe they're in that.
Well, that's the high school thing. But give Wisconsin some credit, but again, we're a better team than them. We're a better team than Minnesota, and that's what disappoints me. And let me get to my major theme here for today, because I think this started all last spring. Spring ball and the caravans, the coaches went on, and the first thing you heard the coaches say, the head coach say, is, we're going to have a better team. We might not have a better record. That doesn't resonate well with me, and I question that. I said, why? Just because we're playing some of the teams on the road that we beat at home? If we want to bring our program to the next level and be consistent 8-4, 9-3, we can't worry about where we play. We gotta bring our talent, which is better, to Madison and wherever, and play and win the game. And so I don't think that they set themselves up for like a little cop-out and stuff.
Well, but when Lou Holtz used to whine, we're not very good, we have no chance against this team, and then went out and won a national championship, nobody said that Lou Holtz was making a decision by creating diminished expectations for a program. They said he was being cagey and setting up opponents into a false sense of security.
All right, so our coach was trying to take a page out of Lou
Holtz. I'm saying I don't know what they were trying to do, but don't suppose that they were absolute in their comments relative to this not being as good a team or being as good a team or better of a team, but not having as good a record. All they were saying is that our schedule was much harder this year, which it is, and
I don't even agree with the schedule being much harder.
Well, I think it is.
Why? Michigan stinks. Wisconsin, we were better than. We should have won that game.
How many times have we won at Michigan in the last 50 years?
But what does that matter? We're playing this year.
I understand, but when you looked at the schedule,
I looked at the schedule, I said, Penn State, Wisconsin, we're going to split that, and Ohio State, that's how I got my two losses. And if they were, if everyone agrees we should have beat Minnesota, we should have beat Wisconsin, we should have, that leads to the two losses. And I'm upset. And you're shocked at my upsetness. Let me finish.
Your face is orange right now.
Well, it's an attitude thing. you know, you're going on the road, you want to get up on them and bury them. And was it that windy that we couldn't get the ball and go down first? We were lucky. Oh, here's a good one. Watch
it. We're never, ever going
to
win the toss and
take
the ball.
Ohio State was at home. They won and they received. All right, let me ask you this question, Mr. G. Let me ask you this question. When you say Wisconsin football, when I say Wisconsin football, what do you think of?
I think of defense and power running.
Okay. Any level of football, Wisconsin football is running the football. Why then did the first 2-3 downs, in which they ran for 2 first downs, by the way, and we got lucky on the fourth play that Beckham got a penalty or else they would have gone up quickly early and probably buried us. But why the first 2 or 3 downs did we start the game at Wisconsin? If any team gets off the bus running, it's them. We started with 2 linebackers and an extra back, Garrett Edwards. I didn't get that at all. Answer that for me, please.
I think our defensive scheme is terrible, and I think the coaches are being held accountable for a terrible defensive scheme. And that's not even the most glaring error. By the way, Garrett Edwards is a terrible blitz safety. He never gets to the quarterback. He never throws his body over a blocker or around a blocker. I don't know why we ever have him blitz. The other thing that I want to say about our safeties is that our safety's motto is safety first. They don't tackle. They don't try to intercept. They really are not engaged in the game, and they line up 20 yards off the line of scrimmage, and typically they're waving at players during the play. I thought the 3rd-and-17 play, and I want to get to this later on, we had six defensive...
In the fourth quarter?
In the fourth quarter when we were up 17-10 on 3rd-and-17, we had 6 defensive backs in the game. We played a soft defense. I want to talk about that at length because that was the most atrocious play-calling error of the game, in my opinion, was the defensive set on that play, our lack of emotion, and our lack of pressure on an inexperienced quarterback. And if there was any one play that I could go back to and say, let's do this differently, it would have been that play.
Right. I was hoping we could hold them to 15 yards. It'd be 4th-and-2, for crying out loud.
And by the way, did you see Bussey's attempted tackle on the play?
The tackling was atrocious. Backwards in tackling.
Bussey bounced off of a 185-pound receiver, and Vontae Davis quit on the play. And by the way, Vontae has to be called out on his leadership. Because Vontae Davis, at this point, looks like he's more worried about the NFL than worried about the ILL. And he's got to be engaged as a leader on this team, or we're not going to be very good. If he wants to be the Sean Pruitt of this year's football team, he's doing a really good job so far. Because Vontae Davis is an all-world NFL talent, and you saw where his brother got called out by Singletary this week. Let it be known, Vontae, that if you're going to play without attitude and without emotion and without thinking, it doesn't matter if it's on the high school level, the college level, or even the pro level. You're going to get called out, and it's going to cost you playing time and money.
Agreed 100%. There just kind of seems to be, no other than Miller, no leadership. We saw something that we hadn't seen all year, showing frustration on the sideline.
But Juice does it a lot. When he gets down in the game, he will bury his head.
I haven't seen it until, but bury his head, but also he was sticking it out, you know, kind of yelling at some guys. And Hardeman, I saw after one play, turning around yelling at other guys, kind of like they missed assignments or whatever. Just very, very, troubling and frustrating.
Your blood pressure spiking. I want you to just relax.
Wisconsin just converted another 3rd-and-long.
Okay, relax for a second. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. We'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Make us a favorite button on your browser.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet.
Kickoff now, and this will be Ben at the 10, to the 15, to the 20, up into the field, 30. He's got some room to run, 40, to the outside, 50. Two-man to beat at the Wisconsin 40, down the sideline, almost a horse-collar tackle. They don't drop the flag, but he's down at the Wisconsin 27-yard line. What a big play by Aurelius Ben.
Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
That voice is so soothing, isn't it, Mr. G, after that first session we had here, although I'm still pumped up and I'm going to be like this probably the whole day. But Illini Nation, we'd now like to welcome in our first guest of the day, the voice of the Illini, Brian Barnhart.
And
Brian?
A repeat guest on Talking Illini.
Yeah. Do I win something for that?
Oh, sure. What do you need? What do you need, Brian?
Well, when you come in for the United Center basketball game or the Northwestern football game, we'll take care of you.
Okay. Well, that sounds fair.
Yeah. We're fair guys.
Sure.
Except for maybe, I don't know if you heard any of the first segment, but our blood is still boiling from Saturday. Try to talk us down a little.
Yeah, you and Ron Zook. He's not very happy either, I guess. No, it's, that was disappointing. And I mentioned something I wrote. I do a lot of internet work too and so forth, and to me the turnovers and all that happened made us look like a 4-4 team. I mean, we were kind of going one step up, two steps back. Every time you think, okay, they're going to take control of the game here, like when they were up 17-10 and they couldn't make a stop on third and long and Wisconsin would eventually cash it in or score, like on that 49-yard run. It was just that kind of frustrating day that just kind of made you mad. And I know Ron Zook wasn't very happy after the game, and we did our TV show today, and I think he was still fuming. So,
well, we had 6 D-backs in the game on the 3rd-and-17 touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an inexperienced quarterback. We didn't bring any pressure. We laid back. And by the way, I think we were playing two-hand touch on the play, and he was down at the 35 because Bussey got him with two hands. Didn't it look like, Buss?
Yeah, it was almost like flag football there. You're right, yeah.
And I don't understand why you have 6 defensive backs against an inexperienced quarterback there. Why wouldn't you put pressure on a kid like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that. But the tackling on it was disappointing. That was the thing. I mean, I think it might have been a first down anyway, but possibly. But I mean, he escaped a couple of people and ran to the end zone. That was kind of typical of the day. Just when you thought you had the game won, or like I said earlier, you were in control of the game, and then it just kind of slipped through their fingers, and that's what was hard to take. Or they do it to themselves with a penalty or two, and it just was kind of Wisconsin, I think, kept trying to give it back to us, and we wouldn't take it.
Brian, the physical mistakes are going to happen, but what bothers me also this game and the Minnesota game, it just seems like the opponents came out wanting it more, hitting a little harder, going to the end of the whistle, chasing the ball. do you see that up in the booth? And if I'm seeing that correctly, why is that happening?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. You're probably right. I think, you know, Minnesota came out with nothing to lose, and they were playing, you know, I'm sure that even though Tim Brewster wouldn't admit to it, I'm sure that he reminded him once in a while that, you know, he played at Illinois and was looking for a chance to win, and they played hard, and they were coming in with a lot of wind at their back and a big turnover margin in their favor, and they were playing well. And I think Illinois got caught a little flat-footed in that game, and then, you know, Wisconsin was kind of backed into a corner, too. I mean, they'd lost four straight. Iowa and Penn State just dismantled them. I'm sure they had a tough week of practice. They probably came out, you know, with, you know, laying it on the line and, you know, punching. It's kind of like a boxer, you know. You just, when a boxer thinks he's going to win or thinks he should win or people think they should win, and then the underdog comes barreling out of the corner and just starts firing away and it catches the guy off guard. That seemed to what happened, both in the losses that Illinois, you know, the games that should have been wins, that most people feel that way. And even Ron Zook this morning was like, you know, I think everybody agrees we should be 6-2 and not 4-4. You know, that's kind of what happened, I think.
I'd like to see us play with a lot more aggression, particularly when we went up 17-10, we were in a position to really take control of the game. I'd like to see Coach Zook at that point in the game gather his defense before that kickoff and just grab guys and say, guys, now let's put a foot on the throat and crush it. Right now, we can take control of this game, get them 3-and-out right here, get the ball back to our offense, and really put some distance between us and Wisconsin, and really show some emotion himself and bring the team together. And if there's not a real leader on the defense, let him be the leader for the defense.
Well, and I think that, you know, if you've seen the journey, we've seen some of that, especially at halftime. I don't know, I've got so much going on in the booth, I'm not watching every coach, but I'm guessing somebody's yelling at somebody, you know, down there somewhere, whether it's Coach Mallory or Coach Dish or somebody's talking to him at some point. So, but I guess your take is you want to see Zook do more of that, right?
I think, you know, he's the captain of the ship. Ultimately, it's his watch, it's his job, and he will sink or swim based on what he does. And why really delegate that responsibility and the responsibility of being the primary motivator on a team to anyone else, especially, you know, and you can't do it on every possession.
Right.
But a critical possession like that, rally the troops. Mm. You understand that this is a critical moment at in a critical game of the season, and that your input at this point could make the difference between success or failure for an entire season.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. You know, there's always a fine line there too, because you know, if you get after him too much on camera, over the top, then people go, well, geez, abusing the kids. I mean, there's a fine line for the coaches to try to get the point across, be animated, motivate them, and all of that all at the same time. And I don't know how you do that exactly, but you know, some coaches I've seen too that I don't know. You know, Pete Carroll does more hugging, I think, than yelling, and of course he wins a lot, but.
He's got better talent, too.
Yeah, they've got a lot of talent, but they all kind of do the, you know, they're all kind of different.
Maybe it's an L.A. thing.
Right. No, but I just think
Tom Landry never said anything.
It's easier to get away with something like that, with really getting motivated and getting after guys mm-hmm. in a positive situation than right after a mistake.
Yeah.
So if he gets after them when they're going out on the field and trying to motivate them, it's different than a guy making a mistake and him getting up in a guy's grill
yeah.
and screaming at him for getting for making a mistake.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying, but I don't know, you know, I know he gets emotional. I'm not sure, you know, when or how to do it, but I guess you just kind of leave that up to him and the staff.
Brian, caught one pass in the first quarter. Ben caught two passes the whole game. I don't remember many attempts to them besides those. Were you seeing something upstairs that Wisconsin was doing to shut them off and make Juice go to the other guys, or were they open and Juice missing them?
Well, Juice was kind of missing a lot of people on Saturday.
Not necessarily missing the throws, but missing them being open and not seeing them also.
I don't know. And Coach mentioned something on our shows down here this morning about preparing, or once you make a mistake, then forgetting about that mistake, like Juice's first interception. Maybe that he dwelled on that too long and he wasn't playing as confident as he's been. I don't know. I don't know if, you know, obviously Ben is the first guy that people are going to take away, but he's been catching the ball like crazy, you know, the last couple of weeks. So I know it was interesting how many times they went Sykes' direction during the course of that game. I don't remember him getting that many attempts his direction. So I don't know if that was a case of the, you know, Loxley taking what was available to him at that point, or if Juice wasn't picking up on it enough, or if Juice is playing a little bit of a lack of confidence and, there were cases maybe Ben might have been there, but he didn't feel like he could thread it to him or something. I don't know, but
Can you ever remember a situation where a freshman receiver was the focus on three different interceptions in a single game?
No, I can't. That's what I mean. Even in this year, we haven't seen him throw his direction that much. And I was mentioning to Ron this morning that, you know, and he mentioned this about Juice, is you have to forget if something bad happens, and Juice hadn't thrown many interceptions here the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's also been getting a lot of pats on the back. But I don't know if his confidence was shaken a little bit or what. But I told him it's like a relief pitcher in baseball, a closer. You know, sometimes those guys will give up home runs. They gotta have a short memory. They gotta forget it, and can't let the next guy hit a home run against them. And I think quarterbacks have to do that too.
Do you think there was any thought to bringing McGee into the game at a certain point in the fourth quarter?
I don't know. It might have been earlier this year. I don't know. Juice had been so good up to this point. I don't know. You know how much Eddie McGee stuff they put in during practice during the week, but. I don't know if I can give you a straight answer on that because I don't know, but I'm guessing that, you know, obviously if the game had been longer or gone differently or we were down by more, maybe that might have been considered, but I don't know for sure.
This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Our guest is Brian Barnhart. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. Brian, I got a question. The end of the first half, Wisconsin had the ball with a little over a minute to go. They ran a couple plays and then threw an second down was incomplete. So third down they ran. And, before that play, you've got to be thinking, if we stop them, do we want to take a – we had two timeouts left, I believe. We stopped them. There was hesitation for, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds. We finally called a timeout. Didn't have anyone back to field the punt, so it rolled to the goal line. Was there any question and answer about
that? There's a pony in there somewhere, Brian.
Was there, how did you see that? Did anyone question the coaching staff on what they were thinking there?
Now, was that before the Wisconsin penalty?
Well, I think there was a penalty on the first punt, and they punted again.
Yeah, I think what the idea was, the punter for, the way I understood it, was the punter for Wisconsin had been blocked twice during the year. He was a freshman punter. And with, I think it was down to like 30-some-odd seconds, I think that basically what they were doing was setting up a block. And even if Ben would have dropped back, and he would have had nobody to block for him, I guess, or setting up a return.
Right, but take a fair catch at the worst so the ball doesn't roll to the goal line.
That's true,
We still have the ball like some, 25, 30-yard line.
Maybe. Yeah, but I knew that coming in that he had been blocked twice.
Brian, I have a new motto for our safeties. It should be safety first, because certainly they don't want any contact and they don't want to get involved in plays. But by the way, they keep their jobs.
Where Zook said yesterday there's going to be some changes. We'll see him on Saturday. Do you have any kind of hint as to
what you? But you're not going to let him answer my question about our safeties.
Excuse me.
You're talking about the receiving the punts and kicks.
No, I'm talking about our safety play. It's just been atrocious.
In general, okay. About whether they should be replaced or...
Yeah, I mean, how long do you stay with Bellamy? Hardman probably had his worst game since coming into the starting lineup as well.
I don't know. I mean, Bo Flowers played a lot early. Is he that better than those guys?
No.
I mean, who else?
We're running out of personnel. The only thing I say is that, the Lafayette game, they move Hicks back there and put Miami at the corner. Miami's out, but... Give Tavon Wilson a shot at the corner and move Hicks back.
Or Garrett Edwards has been playing nickel. I don't know.
By the way, Garrett Edwards could be the worst blitzing safety in the history of the Big Ten. I've yet to see him do anything other than run into a blocking back and stop.
Well, I don't know that he should be doing that.
Probably
not. That should be his role.
That's my point, though.
Well, I don't know. There's your answer. I guess the personnel, like I said, that's where Miami Thomas's injury kind of hurt you, because I think that was... It gives them some more flexibility. And your question was about, what was the next question?
Zook said yesterday on the teleconference there will be changes. We'll see them on Saturday. Any hint? Do you have any idea where those might take place?
Well, I think, there's a chance, I suppose, and this is purely speculation trying to read between the lines with Ron. The way he's been playing Corey Lewis at left tackle, maybe I'm sensing there's some unhappiness with Xavier Fulton.
Yeah, he had his worst game, too.
And maybe that's some of the upperclassmen he's thinking of. I don't know. He was pretty vague on that. I guess the other thing, we were talking on the TV show today about Doug Pilcher and the way he's played, and he sort of said something about, you know, maybe I'll let Pilch start, you know, at one end or move. I don't know. Maybe there's some changes there he's looking at or something. But I would say probably the obvious one is the left tackle situation with that. I think the way Corey Lewis has been playing, that's a potential change. I know Randall Hunt played some, been playing more snaps instead of Eric Block. I think you go a variety of ways. I was talking to Frank Lenti today, of course, from up that way, and
legendary Mount Carmel coach,
of course, and his dad, and then Frank, of course, our holder last year, the last several years. He was saying, I said, what kind of practice is it going to be this week? And Frank said, this is the kind of week where instead of Coach Zook standing several yards away and maybe saying something to you from afar, or, you know, pointing out something or yelling at you from afar, he will be in everybody's grill at every position, grading everything you're doing the entire week.
Yeah, I think that guys like Vontae Davis and Xavier Fulton are worried too much about the NFL and not enough about the ILL.
Yeah, well, this Frank said, are you glad you're out of practice? He goes, oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to be around this week. So I'm guessing he's going to be in the, you know, we'll see. Interesting to see what he does, though.
And what about Vontae Davis? Here, this is a kid who should really be a leader on this defense and has not played like a leader.
Yeah, he hasn't lived up quite to the expectation I think people had for him this year. Although, I tell you what, the scouts, every scout I ever talked to, they love him.
Well, he's great against the run. He's a good cover cornerback. I'd like to see him be a little more aggressive going for interceptions, though, as well.
Yeah, and I think he's probably close to an interference at one point sometime during that game. But, yeah, he, you know, I guess for the expectations that people have had for Ben, you know, he has met those or exceeded those in some respects. Vontae's expectations were very high, and he just has been kind of quiet in that sense. He's been, you know, not horrible, but he hasn't been great, great, great like people thought he might be. But, I think, you know, maybe teams aren't throwing his way that much either.
I thought it was interesting that Mike Singletary went after his brother this weekend on the NFL level, and it just goes to show whether you're playing high school, college, or pro ball, if you don't play like a man and you don't accept your responsibility, you're going to get called out for it.
Well, and there were times last spring, you guys might remember, but last spring I think Vontae was listed second on the depth chart.
Yeah, well, I think...
Didn't play, so I think Ron's been trying to remind him that, you know, your future may be in the NFL, but right now I need you to perform at a high level here. So, you know, do it the right way. So,
Brian, can you hang on with us through a break, and maybe we'll talk a little hoops for a couple minutes?
Okay, sure.
Terrific.
Thanks,
Thank
Brian.
You. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Get one-on-one information from some of the best-trained professionals in the financial services business. Stephen King is with AXA Advisors, part of the global company helping 50 million people reach their financial goals. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC. 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair, a proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Attention all civilians.
You're listening to TalkZone.com.
Internet talk radio.
TalkZone.com.
You're Talking Illini on Talk Zone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
Welcome back to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can reach us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. We're joined by the voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart. Brian, we've got a caller from Madison, Wisconsin. Alexa from Madison, you're on with Brian Barnhart.
Hello. I was just wondering what you guys think went wrong at the game on Saturday.
Brian, you want to have at it?
You guys have been doing that, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been doing that for a while. Maybe Alexa just got back from class and didn't hear the beginning of the show. But
it really comes down to the turnovers were obviously a huge factor. Juice was off. That was a part of it. I think Illinois constantly kind of would do things well for a while, then they'd penalize themselves. And those are how teams get to be 500. I mean, you do some things well and some things you don't do well. And Wisconsin was a team that was desperate, and once they found that they could hang in the game and they could have possibly win it, you know, they're at home and they're more comfortable there, and obviously they played pretty well after two bad weeks. I do think it's interesting when you go to, and people can talk about stats all they want, offensive, defensive numbers. When you go to the turnover margin and you look at, say, the Big Ten or national rankings as to who's, and not 100% always the case, but if you look at it, generally speaking, from top to bottom, the teams that are doing very well have a very good turnover margin, and the teams that are about 500 are about in the middle, one or two negative or plus, and the teams at the bottom are way behind in turnover margin, and that, to me, is the most telling stat of all. I can look at a turnover margin and tell you what the record is almost immediately, and that's kind of where Illinois has been right now.
Alexa, even though you're in Madison, it sounds by the tone of your question that you might be an Illini fan.
She's a closet Illini fan.
Not quite, but I've got a family roots in Illinois.
Well, that's nice.
So you weren't torn at all. You were wearing Badger red all the way.
Of course.
Of course.
So this is the only time you'll call then is after you guys beat us. I guess we'll have to wait for basketball, but we might be waiting a couple of years.
We could. Alexa, stay on the line. We're gonna. You probably need a little Melnati's pizza, so we're gonna get you some Melnati's pizza up there in Madison. And thanks for joining us on Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Brian, before we segue to hoops, I guess we're just going to do a quick looking forward to this Saturday. You know, what do you expect with the Iowa game?
Well, you know, at the start of the year, I think a lot of people were, you know, pretty down on Iowa as far as what their expectations could be. And then they won a couple of games, played good defense, didn't give up a touchdown. And then they went through a stretch where they lost some close games and, you know, lost some games they probably shouldn't have. And then suddenly here they've, you know, they pound Wisconsin. You know, they're playing better, I think, than people thought. They finally seem to have settled on a quarterback in Stanzi after going back and forth. Sean Green has been coming on strong, and they obviously have a lot to play for, too. Their record's pretty good. They can go up the bowl ladder, if you will, with a win on Saturday. And, you know, they have the knowledge that they beat a Rose Bowl team last year. So, I'll be interested to see. Illinois will be kind of the team backed in the corner a little bit this Saturday, so I'll be interested to see how they come out compared to Iowa, who's been off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was scared to death of it going into Madison simply from the statistical standpoint of Wisconsin was due for a victory. Mm-hmm. But looking at Iowa and what they've done the last few weeks and who they've done it to and looking at the way we're playing and matchups, I'm even just as or more scared of them coming in as the game last week.
Give me a prediction. By the way, what do you think the Vegas odds makers have this game at this week, guys?
Oh, I would guess, just because it's in Champaign, Illinois would be a slight favorite, probably.
Boz?
You know I have no idea about this stuff. Illinois given two.
Yeah,
two and a half.
Like that.
Two and a half. I really think that we have a chance to either be very bad or very good in this game. I don't see us playing just a middle-of-the-road game. I think we're either going to come out breathing fire and brimstone or we're just going to get rolled by Sean Green and Norm Parker's defense.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of where Wisconsin was at last week. You know, they came out breathing, you know, fire, and they wanted to compete, and that's where our mistake was making mistakes and turning it over and giving them a chance. They feel like they could You know, if we'd have knocked them out earlier, knocked them around hard quick and knocked them down, they might have gone the other way in a hurry, too.
Why do we start a game with five D-backs against an inexperienced quarterback and against a Wisconsin power football team that you know is going to first try to run the ball down your throat?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. Maybe they thought they might do something early different than they've done. I don't know.
Yeah, in the famous words of Jack Buck, I couldn't believe what I just saw when I was. All right, let's move on. We'll keep our fingers crossed for this game Saturday. One final note, though, I think it's going to be very similar. I think defensively, Iowa's going to try to force Juice to pass and make the plays. And
yeah,
they're going to, you know, our running game wasn't as good as Indiana, like I said last week.
When you play nine in the box, you're not going to get a lot of good running plays.
Yeah, and they play the Norm Parker. I think's been out there a long time. They play a pretty base defense, from what I understand. They don't do a lot of cute stuff. I mean, you know what they're going to try to do. You just got to try to beat it.
Yep, well, we'll see. Let's accounts of last night's orange and blue scrimmage sounded somewhat like an NBA All-Star game. Was any defense played? All I heard was about how everyone scored and the shooting percentages were terrific and the free throw percentages were terrific. Give us so a glimpse of what you saw last night.
Well, it was funny because I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. You know, it's been so busy with football. I had heard different reports of different guys doing well here and there, but you know, and seen him a little bit, but had not, you know, seen him in a real up and down type situation. And I didn't know what to expect, and obviously not a lot of people did because they only had about 3,000 people in the building to watch. So I don't know if it was people had other things to do or what, but
Desperate Housewives was on last night.
What's that?
Desperate Housewives was on.
That may have been it, but it was, you know, that comes on to what, 7? So this was 4:30.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It was late afternoon.
Yeah.
I don't know if people were raking leaves because the wind was blowing the leaves around. But, I was really surprised, pleasantly surprised in a way, because, and Bruce has told me, he guarantees very few things, but he said, we will definitely shoot better. And all of the big guys could shoot it from the baseline, especially Davis. We saw some of that last year. You know, we had Tisdale who can shoot it from the baseline or further out, as the case may be. It seemed like by not having Pruitt in the middle, and of course, and he could not shoot much beyond a couple of feet out. So when you had him in the offense, you had to kind of gear things to get it into him. He was not a great assist guy, obviously. He was not going to kick it out. With him out of there now, they can spread the floor a little more. Frazier or McKamey can create down the middle or kick it off to somebody in the corner. And I forget what the blue team shot overall, but it was 58% or 57, something like that. And Tisdale hit a variety of shots. He scored 26. Brock even scored over 20. He was hitting baseline jumper after baseline jumper and getting, you know, rebounds and fast breaks on kickouts and so forth. Now, again, as you said, Bruce after the game was kind of like, I'm real happy with the way we scored, but maybe our defense isn't that good. I don't know.
Well, the one thing I will say over last year is you don't play defense on free throws, and our free throw shooting looked markedly better, so maybe we are a better shooting team.
And we are, and I think the other thing that stood out to me, and I realize it's against ourselves, and I know people will say, well, you know, yeah, it doesn't really prove anything, but having seen this team year after year after year now for whatever it is, 8 years, the passing was terrific. I mean, the passing was so much better. The crispness of where the ball was going, no matter who it was against, they were popping it around like a pinball, and I had not seen that for 2 or 3 years. You know, a lot of times in the last couple of years, it's been, you know, kind of an anguish to watch us try to work the ball around or inside and somebody throw up a shot at the shot clock. This was like clockwork. This was bang, in the corner, over here, in here, back out here, shot, make it. And I was impressed with that. I was encouraged by that.
Yeah.
I think Legion started a little tight. He missed 6 or 7 shots to start. He seemed to settle in, but the guy that was the shock of the day was Semrau. You know, 6'8", 6'9", kind of a wide body. They need him to be a banger. He's been sick. He's been hurt. And Bruce has been telling me in practice he's been terrific. He started off slow for the first break. He got an earful from Weber the first time out, and then he just played like, you know, he was on fire. I mean, he was everywhere. He was grabbing rebounds. He was up and under with shots. He was being a banger inside, and that's what was stunning to me. I had never seen him play that way.
So. That also may be a function of the fact that we don't have another banger out there who can body up and play him defensively as well.
No, that's right. Our big guys are not necessarily strong body-up type guys, but he had never, in all the practices I had seen him last couple of years when he had been healthy or somewhat healthy, I'd never seen that. And that was encouraging. And I think Tisdale obviously gives you an added dimension. I've had people tell me that they think Tisdale can be a pro. before he's done.
Yeah, I believe that. I do.
Because he's big. He can shoot it. He's mobile. You know, any guy that's 7'7", 7'1", I mean, that can shoot like that, they're going to take a look at. And his, I thought his, he's still got some more base weight to get, but I thought his overall skill level was pretty impressive. He even made a shot left-handed inside, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, if Chuck Nevitt could make the NBA, Tisdale certainly would have a shot.
It's clear from watching this team the last 2 years that Sean Pruitt, and he's starting to be called out by his former teammates, was a cancer on this team, and that Randall's body language and lack of confidence really hurt this team, in particular last year. Are you surprised that some of the current Illini players are calling out Pruitt in particular and saying that there's really addition by subtraction this year?
Well, it's, you know, they probably wouldn't say it on their own, but somebody probably asked them about it. You know, what's the difference between, in a way of just describing how it's going, probably that's the way it sounds. And I think, you know, obviously anybody that was close to the team knew that, you know, Sean had been a problem for the coaching staff. And when you're two, especially your two seniors, the guys you're counting on the most, supposed to be your leaders, Pruitt, you know, obviously was an example the other way. And Brian was hurt so much and had no confidence and couldn't display to the younger guys, you know, how to do it or give them encouragement. So it was kind of a rudderless ship last year. It would just kind of drift here and there. And, you know, the guys that you needed to be leaders couldn't be or wouldn't be. And, it just kind of, that's how you get to be 16 and 19. And even with all that, they were in a lot of games that they'd missed free throws that they should have won. Not that they would have had 25 wins, but, you know, could you get to 19 or 20 with some of the free throws they missed late in games last year? So I was encouraged by the fact that the offense flowed so much better. Maybe it was attributed to defense that wasn't great, but I thought it was a pretty good show yesterday.
On the offensive flow, were guys catching and shooting right away as they're coming off the picks? Because one thing that kind of clogged up that motion the last year or so, I thought, were guys were getting receiving passes where Dee and Luther and Darren did, but they weren't taking the shots because they weren't confident in their shots.
Yeah, there was no hesitation at all yesterday.
Well, that's good. That's
as soon as
good
they got it, Brock, Davis, Tisdale. Bang, bang. I mean, it was up. And they were making them all. That was the amazing thing. And it just flowed so much easier. I've seen some of these scrimmages, and you guys have too, I'm sure, that where you go, wow, that wasn't very pretty. That was pretty to watch yesterday. That was actually fun to watch.
Great. You know, one thing I want to get your opinion of, and Mr. G and I go back and forth on this, and even with Bruce a little. You know, you're mentioning Semrau and Davis, and Cole, I guess, didn't play. He was out. But you know, someone asked, like, it's been in print, if the season started today, it would be Frazier, McCamey, Meacham, three guards, Tisdale, and then maybe Keller or forward and stuff. Do you like that? I'd like to see a second real forward, you know, two guards, two real forwards and a center. I mean, maybe you got to keep Semrau aside to sub for Tisdale, but between, you know, Keller, Davis, Cole, and I guess Brock, you could call a forward, you know, rather, and then have one of those three guards coming off the bench. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's just kind of the way it's made up. I don't know if we've got other than Keller, who probably, you know, I think will get a chance to start probably at the four, you know.
Although he didn't look very good last night, did he?
He didn't or did?
Did not. I
thought he was fine. I think he, I mean, he's, you know, he's still kind of learning his way along, but I think he grabbed 8 or 9 rebounds.
Weber said that right now he's struggling with thinking too much.
Probably. They didn't want him to just screen, go down and rebound, and, you know, forget about scoring. And that's hard for a junior college guy that scored 25 points a game, you know, to suddenly think about that. But he seems very open to that, and that's something I don't think Rodney Alexander never really bought into what Bruce was trying to sell him on that, on doing that last year. So I think he knows his role, but I think I don't think they have to go one way or the other. I think they can mix and match the way they want to go. They could go small. You could even have a case where Brock is down at the four with the three guards. I
mean, well, or Brock at the three, and maybe bring Frazier off the bench as an energy guy.
And of course, you're going to have Legion in the mix after, you know, Christmas time or right before Christmas. So that'll add a kind of a wing player there too. I think Chester's going to do well, flourish in this because he doesn't have to be the guy. It's McCamey's show now. You know, Chester can fill in for him, or Chester can, you know, concentrate on defense or whatever he needs to do, but he doesn't have to run the point, be the guy running the offense. That'll start with McCamey.
But our Achilles heel last year was shooting, and typically Chester Frazier in his 3 years on the Illini team has not shown any ability to shoot the ball from the outside or consistent ability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is it going to be different this year?
Well, I don't know if it is going to be overall. I just think it takes the pressure off of him to have a McCamey and a Legion and Trent Meacham and some others, and where he can do concentrate on his role and what he can do well, and then, you know, kind of go from there. I don't think you have to depend on him to shoot or create even as much, because what he would do, and you guys know this, he would charge in there like a bowling ball and then, you know, knock over everybody and then look up and go, what do I do now?
Or pound the ball out at the top of the key for about 20
yeah.
seconds. And
that's where, you know, while McCamey was developing, I mean, that was kind of what we had to count on. But now McCamey, you know, it's his show to run out top. And, you know, if he needs a breather or, you know, Chester can find him or he can whatever. I mean, I think Chester will have a much smoother year this year.
It looks like Bruce is leaning towards redshirting Stan Simpson. Would you agree that that's what he's going to do?
That's what he wants to do. I mean, he leaned, you know, several red shirts the last couple of years, and it hasn't panned out quite the way he hoped. But I think so. Simpson, you know, has a lot to learn still. He's probably the one guy that could develop into a back-to-the-basket threat over time because he's, you know, he's lanky enough and he could do it. But, yeah, I think he would be leaning that way just because he's got so many guys at that four or five spot that are interchangeable.
And my guess is that if he had it to do over again, he would have at least redshirted one player amongst Davis, Tisdale, or Cole last year.
Yeah, and he even says, you know, even said the other day, he probably wished he would have redshirted Tisdale even. As much as we, you know, used him, whatever the 10 minutes or 11 minutes a game or whatever it was last year, just because he could have had another, that fifth year to add on more weight and, you know, how good would he have been by then? So yeah,
no one could have predicted, though, that we would have gone 16-19 last year, and we thought we had an NCAA tournament team.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and at least borderline. And I just listening to Bruce speak, and he's spoken to different civic groups around town, and I know these guys well enough. I'm not with them 24 hours a day, but I know them well enough. I can read between the lines of how they're feeling. And with Bruce, I feel like he's thinking, I've got something up my sleeve here. People don't realize this team will be better than people think. And because I think he likes the group. They play well together. They like each other. They have good chemistry. And I think he can mold them kind of the way he wants to, and they'll listen to what he says and take his advice to heart and play the way he wants to play.
Great. Well, we're going to end this segment on a positive note there then. We're not going to ask you whether or not this team's going to make the tournament. We'll save that for later in the year.
Which tournament?
Which tournament? Is that what you said?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there's several of them. But,
yeah.
Well, any postseason play would be good. But
I think they will, obviously, just Purdue and those teams are going to be above them. You know, if they can, you know, cause some headaches for teams like that, win some home games, and, you know, just like I said last year, even with the losses they had, as bad as they were offensively, they had a chance to win at least three or four more games and had them slip through their fingers.
Brian, you've been very gracious with your time. We want to thank you again, and definitely we'll be in touch. And when you come in town for the Northwestern game, we'll try to get together Friday afternoon or evening, and we'll see you next weekend at Memorial Stadium for the big Iowa game.
Brian, where do you like to eat in Chicago?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Anywhere downtown there.
Well, maybe Gibson's. We'll take you someplace nice, and maybe we'll invite Herb Gould and a couple of the other guys as well.
That'd be fun.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
All right, Brian. Thank you very much for your time. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We'll be back for the second half of this show.
By the way, I made a huge mistake. We're not taking them to Gibson's. We're taking them to Wildfire.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
I don't know.
We're going to Wildfire, okay?
Yeah, and we don't have to. They're staying up north. We don't have to go downtown even. But we'll figure it out. We have time. I believe, our lead going into our halftime break here.
You can reach us at 888-463-6748. Or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Here's to fall, football, and fabulous food from Lou Malnati's. Satisfy your game day fix with authentic Chicago-style deep-dish pizza from Lou Malnati's. With its gooey mozzarella cheese, sweet, tangy tomatoes, and buttery, flaky crust, it will satisfy the appetite of all fans, from big to small. Want to stay glued to your TV for the Illini games? No problem. All 28 Lou's locations deliver. Prefer peace of mind with your piece of pizza? Escape the house and dine at one of Lou's 10 area sit-down restaurants.
However you choose to prepare for game day, make Lou Malnati's part of your game plan and satisfy your hunger for victory with Chicagoland's favorite deep dish pizza. Call 1-800-LOUTOGO, that's 1-800-LOUTOGO, for store locations and menus, or visit Lou's online at www.loumelnattis.com.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.